Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You have given us life. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, show us the truth of your word, that we may live the way that you would have us to live, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of you are aware of, I'm sure, some recent circumstances that happened yesterday. And one of the things we've been sharing about is that this love that we're talking about is going to be greatly needed in times going forward. And the times going forward may be now. You know, as I've shared each week, I said, we do need this now. And we're probably even going to need it more going forward because the Bible promises us that things are only going to get worse, not better. And so we saw some evidence of that last night, yesterday. But we can have peace and know that God's still God. With whatever's going on, he's still God. And as long as we see him as that in our own lives, we can look at what's going on in the world and not ignore it, but rather just have a peace and confidence in him as we go through what we're going to go through. I have a phrase that I use often, and I most often use it when I'm experiencing something in my physical body, but it applies to these situations and circumstances that we will be coming up to and or going through. And that is, the key word is through. And I say, I'm not wanting to pitch a tent and camp here. I'm wanting to go through it with all these situations and circumstances. And I think that's a good way for us to see it. Whatever it's happening, we're going through it. And to the other side, to the victory that God has for us. We don't have to look at it like, oh, we're stuck here. And this problem becomes a problem. If you look at it like you're stuck here, well, then it does become a problem. You tend to take it upon yourself, internalize it, and then things only get worse. So we're just going to go through. How's that? We'll just go through. And part of the going through, what God shared with me, and I ran it past Pastor Bill several months ago now, because we've been sharing this. This will be week 11 on this same subject. And that is how much love is needed for us to be able to walk out our lives the way that God wants us to as we go through what it is we're going through day to day. And that's why the title came, Take Your Next Step in Love. Each thing you come to in your day, look at it and go, okay, how do I do this in the revelation of love that I have right now? But then not even to stop there, and that is, as I've also shared, what we need to be doing is in our quiet time with God, show me the areas of love that maybe I don't have the full revelation of yet. And he desires to do that. We've talked about the Bible says he wants us to increase and abound in love. Well, how he does that is by giving us a revelation as to who he is as love and what that looks like as we walk it out in our own lives. And his character becomes our character, okay? So I'm not going to go back much in a review of very much this week because in spending time with God, just kind of like, okay, how long does this go on? I shared it with Pastor Bill. I could literally share on this topic, you'd never hear the end. I could teach 100 teachings on this. Seriously. Because the Bible says, it does say, let all things be done in love, right? So, and God is love, right? So everything that God wrote in there is about love in his word. So you could literally teach the whole Bible based on love. And so I could be teaching my whole rest of my life and still not cover it, is what I'm saying. So in other words, I'm going to God, when do you want me to stop this series? And so it'll probably be either next week or the week after, depends on how much I get through during the next 2 weeks. He's given me what it is I'm to share, and however long that takes, that's when we'll stop. But it'll either be next week or the week after. This week we're going to look at one specific verse. We're going to touch on some others. We've already covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4, we've covered love suffers long and love is kind. We've also touched base with some of those verses 5 and 6 in between, which I like to call checkpoints. And it's really looking what love is not. So the way I look at those and go, if I see any of those in my life, I go, uh-oh, I got a problem. And it's me's the problem. It means I'm not doing it right, okay? So I have to go to God, okay, God, where's the problem? One of those that we actually look at was recently was does not seek its own, meaning it is not selfish. It is selfish, selfless, okay? We might look at another one of those somewhat today. But today we're specifically going to, as next week, we're going to look at one verse, and that's verse 7 there. And in verse 7 it says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. The key is to know what's really meant by that. It's one thing to say those words and be able to quote it, but what does that really mean? What does that really look like when God is saying this is what love is? Okay? And so this week and next week, that's what God's going to have me share based on the revelation that he's given me in these areas. And actually, once again, just following how the Holy Spirit's leading me, we're going to go to the fourth one first. Probably not spend a whole lot of time there. So we're going to look at endures all things first. And what I would say about endures all things is it's very closely linked. And as I've shared before, all of these, we're covering them as specific facets or aspects of love, but it's all love. And they're all tied together. And if you're not doing them all, you're really not loving. But certain ones of them are even more intricately tied together. And actually, if you look at it, the endures all things, which is the last thing mentioned, is greatly tied into the very first thing mentioned, long-suffering. Because what you will find is the reason you're having to long-suffer is because you are enduring a lot of things, okay? It's the things that you are enduring that's causing you to have to long-suffer. And by have to, you don't really have to, you have a choice. You can either long-suffer or you can say, I'm out of here. In other words, I'm not dealing with this, and leave the situation that you're enduring. I'm going to give you a specific life example from my own life, not from me, but from my own life. But first, what I would recommend is I'm not going to spend as much time as I normally do on showing you the exact examples that God and or Jesus has given us in his word, mainly because Pastor Bill just spent a whole series on sharing with us what Jesus endured. So if you don't know, go back and listen to it online, okay? But I'm going to give you just a couple of verses that he shared. And I guess first is to have an understanding of what that word endures means when it says that, endures all things. It literally means to remain steadfast. Like I said, the opposite of that is just to say, I'm out of here. But endures means you remain steadfast and you persevere no matter what the situations and circumstances are. So this means when you're enduring something, you keep enduring it. It doesn't matter what it is you're going through, but that's what love will do. And I also shared that the Word of God itself tells us, so how is it we know love? It says, 1 John 3:16, by this we know love. Not John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So the Bible itself is telling us, if you want to understand love, go to the cross, look at what happened at the cross, and you're going to see all these aspects of love. Every single thing that we've shared, go back at the cross and look at it. You'll see these facets or elements of love in what Jesus did at the cross and the Father did by sending his son to the cross. And this is one of those specifically. In fact, we can look at a passage. Let me come up with the exact scripture reference here. Oh, I should have known this one. Hebrews 12:2. This is one of those passages that Pastor Bill shared with us. But this is Jesus, and it's explaining how he endured and where did he endure at the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross. Why did he endure the cross? Because that's what the love of God would do. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, would you say that you and I have benefited from his love here? Yes. We have all benefited from this type of love. And it's what we have to think about with love. We talked about the fact that it is not selfish, but selfless. So everything love would have us do benefits someone else. And in this case, Jesus laid down his life for your benefit and for my benefit. That was God showing his love to us and to the world. It says, once again in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we look to the cross, but we can see here that he endured the cross. If you look down in the very next verse, for those of you that are Hebrews 12:2, look at the very next verse, Hebrews 12:3. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, he went through this as an example for us. Okay? And he is the one who is going to enable us and give us the grace that can only come from him that will enable us to endure. You're not going to be able to endure and long suffer in your own strength. Okay? Without his grace, it's impossible. But see, he's done it as an example for us, and he's promised us that he will give us the grace we need to be able to endure and suffer long, because that is love. And we know that the Bible says that God is love, and that it also says, as he is, so are we to be in this world, which means we are to be love in this world. Okay? So it means that we too have to endure and suffer long. So, but now, I told you I was going to give you a specific life example from my own life. And I know that when I mentioned even long suffering, I didn't use myself as an example. I used my mother. And that's where I'm going to go back to again today without going into a whole lot of detail. But this Hebrews 12:3, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. See, my mother already had this down a lot better than I ever did many, many years ago, because she got to walk in this for over 30 years. And the way I explain it, that's long suffering. You know, having to wait for someone who's talking to the cashier for 2 minutes longer than you think they should in line in front of you, that's really not suffering a long time. Especially when you look at 30 years of suffering long, okay? My mother was married to my father, who was not saved. And the way I like to put it is, you know, sinners sin. It's kind of natural. That's what they will do. I mean, because God's not in them. So for us to have the expectation that they're not going to sin would really be a wrong expectation. Now, God did put a conscience in them, which actually is the one thing that keeps this world from being in utter chaos, because the conscience, in a way, will limit people to a certain extent to conform to cultural norms. Okay? But it's not going to lead them to love the way God would have us love. So the unsaved person does have a conscience that they've been given by God. But what we often find is the conscience can only take you so far. Because then we'll see people snap, and then something happens like happened yesterday. Because that person's conscience was not right. Because he did something that was even against cultural norms. So that's only going to hold you and take you so far. When we have God, then we're not relying on the conscience. We're relying on his spirit to lead us in everything that we do. And we will know what is right to do and what is wrong to do. The Bible says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So as God tells us, do this, we really don't need to see it listed in the Bible. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, guess what? You're not keeping his commandment, right? Because it was specific to you. The Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you don't do it, You might not find it specifically in the Bible anywhere, but you haven't kept his commandment to you because it's to you. And he'll do that to you all the time. How would I put this? You may not notice that he does it all the time, but that may be because you're not listening to him. He tells me to do things all the time, and most of the time I do it, and every once in a while I don't. And when I don't, it doesn't work out well. It's just that simple. And then I have to repent and say, okay, God, don't let me miss it next time, okay? So, but in my mother's case, the way I would share it is, growing up, I didn't know a lot of what went on, let's say between the hours of 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. on a Friday night or Saturday night or morning, more or less, after my father would get home from after drinking a half a case of beer at home and then going and spending the next 6 or 8 hours in the city, the little town that we lived in, drinking more. I didn't find out more till I was an adult in life. In fact, after my father passed away, my mother shared a few things, and only because she shared because there was a neighbor two houses down from us that was living through the same thing. And she was consoling and sharing with her. And I had some ideas of what went on, but because I know that about the age of 13, my father would come home. And I guess at 13, he figured I was old enough to become involved in his rampages that he would never do sober. But drunk, typically he liked to challenge me to fights at the age of like 13 through 16. Now, once again, I was already born again and I knew better. I love my father. But I can tell you there was one time I remember a thought going through my mind. He's drunk enough. I was probably 16 and I go, I could probably take him. But only because he was drunk enough and I'd reached 16. Before that, I go, nah, this wouldn't be wise because he'd still beat me to a pulp if I tried. But I can remember one time, but yet still, even when I reached that point, I go, nope, love doesn't have you do that. So I've got to walk in a little bit, but I can tell you my mother got to walk in it a lot more. I mean, for 30 years, she put up with this. And there's a difference between putting up with and actually loving, too. Because you can only put up with something for so long if you don't love the person and you're not walking in love. There's a big difference. She walked in love to my father. And part of the reason why God had me share this, I mean, I pray to God that no one in here is living through this or had to live through it. But to me, it was so exciting to see really how this story ended. And it ended with a perfect picture of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. How many of you know what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 talks about? It says, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, which my father did not, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. After literally 30 years of living through, enduring and long-suffering in love, my father came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord at the age of like 51. In his last 20 years of his life, he was a child of God. And so in my life, did it cause a lot of problems growing up? Yes, a lot of problems in the family. But it has a great ending. Why? Because my mother was long-suffering and endured in love, and the result was her husband got saved because of her conduct of love. So I had a great earthly example is what I'm saying, and I only pray that I can walk it out that good, because I can tell you I'll give one brief example in my own life, and it was difficult. This just happened, I'll say, within the last 10 years. When I moved to Chicago, I became close friends with a fairly young believer. He'd been born again within just the last 2 or 3 years of me meeting him. And God put me in his life and had me sharing with him a lot. I mean, all the time. And he was coming to me. It wasn't me going to him saying, hey, you need to know this. He was coming to me. And I was pouring things out in his life. And then, I don't want to throw anyone on the bus, so how do I say this? I'm not mentioning his name, but he got in the spirit that there was something wrong in me, okay? And instead of talking to me about it, he went to our pastor. And all I will say is the pastor, for lack of a better word, swallowed what he was telling him. later I had a chance to talk to the pastor and go, okay, what's the Bible talk about if someone comes to you talking to you about someone else? Especially if they're one of the elders in your church, because I was an elder in his church. He had made me an elder in his church. Doesn't it talk about you need at least a couple to confirm that things are going on before you would say, yeah, that's it, and deal with it accordingly? That's just a little side story. But to put it mildly, it affected my life and my relationship in the church because of what this person who God had put in my life that I was to love and pour my life out into. And I went to God, I'm going, God, this isn't working out the way I thought it should. You know I'm to love him, and I was actually out riding my bicycle. And for those of you who know the Tour de France, one way to go fastest is to ride right behind the person in front of you, because then you're drafting. They're blocking all the air from coming at you. And as I'm riding my bicycle, as fast as I can ride, I'm out there, and God just in the spirit goes, let him keep riding right behind you. And I'm going, yeah, but you know what happens when I see something and he doesn't, and I hit the brakes and he doesn't? I wreck again. And he says, keep letting him ride right behind you. And guess what? He wrecked me more than once. But what I will say is we have an awesome relationship now. He and I, and actually off and on, we did most of the time. He was a young believer and he caused some wrecks. So I guess what I would encourage you in this is just because somebody does something that may cause you to wreck or have some problems, that doesn't mean you just discard them. God made it very plain to me. I was to let him stay very close to me. And if there was a problem, he was going to make sure I could handle it, okay? And I was able to walk through it, but I talked to him about it more than once. God, not the person. Going, wow, this sounds awful. This is an awful big ask, God, is what I was saying. He goes, yep, but that's what you're supposed to be doing because that's what love would do, okay? If you really love him, this is what you'll do. I'm like, can I say that any of this is easy? Did I ever say it was? All I can say is I think the more you walk in it, the easier it does become, because it becomes more, and I don't even want to use the word natural, it becomes more of who you are so that you can walk it out easier. Not that it becomes easy, but I think as we endure anything, as I said, right in that word endure, there's problems involved. And do any of us say, sign me up for the problems? I'm sorry, I don't. I'm being honest. But I'm thankful that when those things that happen that I have to endure and suffer along in, that he's right there with me so that I can. Okay? So that's about as long as I'm going to go into endures all things. What I want to go into next is something that I really love that God showed me. And I'm saying this, that he showed me, because I'd had it wrong for the last 40 years, 50 years. Because I've been in church since my first recollection. I mean, my mother, like I said, how many of you have been drugged before? I was drugged to church. You know, from this age, whether I wanted to be there or not, and there were times when I was little that I was convinced I'd rather be at home with my father, who wasn't going. My dad and I were best friends. We loved sports. When he was sober, we were literally the best buddies in the world. Best friends with my dad. But, so there were a lot of Sunday mornings growing up. I'd just like to stay home with dad, you know. I'm being drugged to church. So I've been there my whole life, and I got to hear the word over and over and over again. And all I can say is I never got this. I never saw it. And unless you have done what I like to call a deep dive and start looking into, Pastor Bill has shared that when he's looking through something, he looks up every Greek word. I don't look up everyone, and this is just me being honest, how God has me do it. I go to him, and as I'm looking at something and he's showing me things, he'll let me know. He'll go, look that word up, you're missing something. It's like I kind of know there's something more there that I'm missing, and then I start digging. And first, we're still going to be considering 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, now looking specifically at bears all things, but I want you to go and look at another verse first, and that is Galatians. Now, actually, I want to make sure I've got the right verse that we're going to go to. Yep, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Give you a second to get there so you can see what it says. There it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice the word bear? bears one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, how many of you know of another verse where it mentions something about fulfilling the law of Christ? What does it say fulfills the law of Christ? Love. Love. So it's like a math problem. If bearing someone's burdens fulfills the law, and love fulfills the law, then bearing one another's burdens must have something to do with love, right? It's a simple math problem. So literally what it's saying here is bearing one another's burdens is love, and it fulfills the law of Christ. Okay? So now this word here in the Greek is actually the Greek word bastazo. And once again, I'm not looking to make anyone a Greek scholar, but it's necessary to notice something here before we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. The Greek word used here is bastazo, and it is the one that I think almost all of us who have been in church for any amount of time will think of this definition as you apply it to wherever you see the word bear in the Bible. And this is key, why I'm saying it this way. Because it means to, specifically, I'm going to read the definition. It means to lift, to carry, to take up. And that's what we would think of, to bear. Say someone is walking somewhere and they're carrying 100 pounds and the load is too much for them. The burden is too much. Love would have you or I go over and take 50 pounds of it and help them bear their burden. Okay? And that is love, because it's literally what it's saying here. Bear one another's burdens. So that is part of love. That is now what I will say, and this is what you may find interesting. That is nowhere mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And you may say, well, wait a minute. In verse 7, it says, bears all things. Here's the key. It's not talking about that there. It's a completely different Greek word. And that Greek word means something completely different. Therefore, if you're applying that definition in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, you've got it wrong. You're completely missing what Paul is saying love means there. You're actually leaving out an entire aspect of love. You're getting it over here in Galatians 6:2. This is love. But Paul doesn't literally mention this one in that passage. That's why we've talked about you got to read the whole word and not just 13, 4 through 7 to get love. Because you don't see too much about even love not being selfish in that passage, even though it does say does not seek its own. But here in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, it's a completely different Greek word. The Greek word in 13:7, 1 Corinthians 13:7, is stego, S-T-E-G-O. Remember the other one was bastazo. So now if you take bastazo's definition and apply it where stego's used, you're not getting what God's actually saying through his word here. You've got to apply the definition of that word here to get it right. Now, what does stego mean? Because both of them are translated bears. Stego literally means this. It means to put a roof over. And you're going, okay, what does putting a roof over something have to do with love? Because it's not being applied as a literal definition when the word is used here, it's being used figuratively. And by that, think about what a roof does. A roof protects what's underneath the roof, right? Okay? In other words, it covers everything below it. The figurative definition of the word stego is to cover in silence. And that's what this love does. When you're reading bears all things, it means to cover in silence. What does that mean? It means when, let's keep it between husbands and wives, but this can happen in work situations or wherever you're dealing with people, okay? And that is, let's say you see someone sinning. Would love have you go tell everyone about it? It says covered in silence. That's what this love means. If, let's say, for example, oftentimes husbands and wives know each other very well. And we may even know where our husbands or wives are, have an idea of where their walk is with Jesus. You know, we're all at different places in maturity. Would a husband ever go around telling everyone, going, my wife's just not quite where I am in walking with the Lord. Never. Because that should be covered in silence if you love your wife, right? So in other words, it just doesn't have to be sin. It's anything that's not going to edify the person, not going to help the person, not build them up, not show them you the love of God. You cover it in silence. I like calling it zipping the lip. Okay? Literally, keeping your mouth shut about such things, that's love. Now, in each case where I've done this, we talked about today I didn't share endures all things except for a couple of points. Each thing I've shared, I've gone back to the Word of God and said, here's how Jesus or God shows us that this is the type of love we are to walk in. And God actually gave me a couple examples. I'm going to look at one specifically because it stood out to me. As soon as God showed me, it came right to mind. I'm going, oh, that's this. Look at John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. I'm going to read the whole thing and make some comments as we go through it. This is a story that I'm sure all of you know very, very well. But what I want you to think about now as we go through this is look at this now knowing what bears all things means in 1 Corinthians 13:7. Keep this in mind. Covers in silence. Covers sins of a person in silence. Okay? So here's the story. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Guess what? There's a sin, right? And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Did Jesus start talking to the woman about her sins when they asked that question? What did he do? He stooped down in the sand and started writing stuff in the sand. What's he do next? Without even going through reading it. Even after he's written in the sand, when he gets up, does he address the woman about her sins? Nope. He addressed those that are accusing her. In other words, the ones not walking in love. He goes, okay, you guys, whichever one of you who hasn't committed a sin, you guys can cast the first stone. Okay? Cast the first stone. Then he goes down and starts writing in the sand again. He still hasn't addressed the woman in her sin. This is God, Jesus himself, covering in silence over and over again. He just starts writing in the sand. Now, he writes some more, and then he gets up, and he looks, and now he talks to the woman. But I want you to see some things here as he's talking to the woman who's been caught in adultery, caught in sin. Even when he does talk to her, the first thing he says is, "So where are all your accusers?" She goes, "Well, there doesn't seem to be any because they're all gone." Okay? And what does Jesus say? He speaks in love. He goes, "You know what? I don't condemn you either." So once again, he doesn't start by going, "Yeah, you sinned. Here's where you were wrong." He says, "I don't condemn you." Because you want to know why? Because that's what love would say. Even when he does speak to her and goes on and says one more thing, he says, "Go and sin no more." That's not about condemnation. That's about directing her to doing the right thing that will be the best thing for her life. This is what love would have her do. Think about what Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says. Do any of you know what that one says? It's a verse you all know. You just may not know the reference. If I start it in 1 second, you'll be able to finish it. There is a time to be silent, and there is a time to speak. Do you want to know the time to be silent? When you can't speak in love. If you can't say something in love, it's time to be silent. Okay? You don't say it. You're not going to speak about someone's shortcomings or their sins because that's not covering it in silence. That's not love. So at that point, if that's your urge, do whatever it takes. I don't know whether you got to do this in front of yourself to make the point, you know, literally go, I got to zip my lip right now because that shouldn't come out of my mouth because that wouldn't be love. Sometimes God will have me do some things in the natural just to reinforce what I know I should do in the spirit. Like, I think I told you recently, I actually took a little glass cross and put it right in front of where I eat because I eat a lot. Because I know that the Bible says if I look and really think about what's happened at that cross, I'll see love and know love. So I literally have that sitting right in front of where I eat. Every time I eat, I'm looking at that cross. And it just brings to mind, that's what the love of God looks like. Okay? So for me, sometimes just doing something in the natural, like, okay, I need to do that. Don't let this come out because that just wouldn't be love, according to really what it's saying here, to cover in silence. But then the second part says, and there's a time to speak. You want to know the time to speak? When you can speak in love. When you can speak things that's going to edify and build the other person up, which is what Jesus spoke. I don't condemn you. Just go out and live your life from this point on the way that I would have you live it, because that's going to be the best thing for you. Don't go out and continue to live in sin. There was no condemnation here because he said there's none. He's actually speaking the best over her life. That's when you speak, is when you can speak in love. Don't speak if you're going to be bringing up their shortcomings. In fact, as I was going through this, I had to think back to my own life. And even looking back, I think I've shared here before, I'm quite certain I have, that if there was one major area that God had to deal with me quite a bit in, was the area of pride. And I'm thankful that he's done a lot of work in that area. Can I say it's a completed work? No, he's still working. But I do believe I've grown some, is what I will say, because of his work in me. But what I thought of immediately when he was showing me this was, back to the days of when I was walking in pride much more often than I should have been, it was like, so why do you do that? What's it look like? You know, one way to elevate yourself is by putting someone else down. Okay? So all I will say as a checkpoint, if you find yourself doing this, not only might you not be walking in love, you might be walking in pride. And that's not a condemnation thing either. Like I said, I like it when God goes, oh, here's a checkpoint. You may need to bring this to me and let's see if we can get this straightened out. Because God has had to do that in my own life. Because I was doing these very things. Trust me, I was doing them. And that's not a boast. I'm just saying God has continued to do a work in me so that I am not doing them now. Okay? So when I read this, I'm going, oh, this is just good, because I knew it applied to my life and I could actually see clearer what he was working in me. I didn't see this verse until this year. See it the right way. And I love it when he shows me something, because you can't live something right the right way, God's way, if you don't know what it is. Okay? So now I actually can see this. And what I also have found, though, is God now holds me accountable for this revelation knowledge that he's given me too. But in a way, I like that. It's good too, because he can just bring it up and go, oh, you know that? And I'm like, yeah, okay. I can catch it much easier because it is knowledge. That's why one of the things we talked about in getting this revelation from God, until it becomes part of who you are, where it becomes part of your character, so you can just walk it out without even thinking about it, sometimes you have to pause, okay? Pause. Should I say that? No. All I will tell you with myself, it's more often no than it is yes. And that's not necessarily humorous either, is what I'm saying. Oftentimes it's like, no, you don't need to open about your mouth about this at all, okay? Until you can open your mouth in love and share something in a way that's going to be good for that person to hear and good for other people to hear about that person. Okay? So I just wanted to kind of wrap this up with just another story. I'll let you read this one on your own. Another story that's in the Bible, and it actually shows a lot of the Father God's love through a parable that's being told. And that is the parable of the prodigal son. So if you think about this, the prodigal son goes away, and what did he do while he was gone? He did a whole lot of sinning, didn't he? A whole lot. I mean, it details it in the Bible. He just sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned, and sinned some more. That's what he was out there doing. So when he came back to his father, did the father take time and list all the sins? The father said, let's have a party. You came back to me. See, that's what love would say. You don't go out there talking about all the sins or the shortcomings of someone. So hopefully this was something that someone here needed to hear. I needed to hear it. And I've shared it with some others. And I think I've shared here before, I love it when someone tells me, that was for me, I needed that today. And not just today, going forward. That excites me. And I've got to share this, as I said, a few times before, and I've had that response from specific people. And that's really what I love to hear. It's like, I needed that because I needed it too. And we're all going to need this, as I said. It's one of those things coming up now where life isn't going to get any easier. And so walking in this love, how would I shared with someone just this very week, because they're going into a new situation where God in my spirit told me to relay this to them. And there's two different ways to look at this. And I used a specific word, the more positive word. And I shared, you know, with this new position that you're taking, you're going to get to walk, you're going to have more opportunities to walk in love than you ever have before. And this person got what I was saying. You're going to have more opportunities to walk in love than you ever have before. And another way for opportunities to put that is you're going to have some tests. People don't necessarily want to hear it put that way as quite as often. You know what I mean? But they really are, how would I put it, looking at it the right way, they're just opportunities to live your life the way God wants you to. And I think that all of us are going to find in these end times that we're going to have more and more opportunities to walk in love, because God's going to show us. It's one of those things, once he starts revealing things to you, you're now going to see it. Oh, I can walk in love the way I now know to walk in love, or I can choose not to. It's really that simple. It comes down to what we've talked about. Love isn't this feeling, expression of emotions. It really comes down to character and will. Has the character of God been worked in you? Do you have the revelation knowledge? And then will you do his will? In other words, walk it out the way he would will you to walk it out. And so it really comes down to, will you walk in love or won't you walk in love? His love is in us, but we have a choice in each and every step that we're going to take. So I would just encourage you in each of these areas that we've talked about, if God has impressed upon you a certain thing, like, oh, you need to watch that one. That's not a critical thing. That's actually a good thing. He's pointing out to you. Typically, what I've found is when he shows me something specific, it's because the tests are coming. He will literally warn me ahead of time. How many of you like surprise quizzes? I don't really care for those too much. I much prefer the test when I know it's coming. What I'm saying is God kind of will show me some revelation, and I go, oh, that's usually my first response. Oh. Because that means I'm going to be tested in that area. I don't know if I'm going to like this, but I know the test is coming. And to me, knowing the test is coming is a help. Because I also can then say, okay, I know this test is coming. I know what God has showed me according to the truth of his word. When the test comes, I know how I'm supposed to go through the test and to pass the test. He's already showed me. He's already equipped me. He's already put his very same love in me that the Father loves Jesus with. So the ability's there. So I can pass this test. I'm already equipped. And he's already warned me ahead of time, the test is coming. So what I will say is, you really don't have to go, oh, the test is coming. You may not be really thankful for the trial or test itself, but the fact that we can look at this, just as Jesus went to the cross with joy, it says, for the joy. Because he knew the result of the cross. See, we can know the result of the test. By having that test, God works more of his character into us. And that's his ultimate goal, is for us to become more like him and be able to walk more like he does on this earth, so that we can show his love and show his light to a lost and dying world. So next week, we're going to come back and I'm going to share with you about believes all things and hopes all things. Okay? And then we'll see if that wraps it up or if I've got one more week to go. We'll see how far I get next week. So just want to close in prayer again today. Father God, we just thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that not only do you reveal yourself to us, but you also give us your ability to walk out the truth that you have revealed to us. We thank you in advance for all you're going to do in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.